Oh.
Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this. Take the limits off.
What's up, Chicago? It's about to go down. I hope y'all ready. Let's go.
Hey, no limits!
No limits!
It's the hottest radio show in the land. Taking Limits Off Radio is on the air. That's right. We are on the air and broadcasting live. You heard me. I said live from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. Whew. Man, trying to catch my breath. The birthplace of gospel music. And as always, it's your boy, your host, the one, the only, Minister Dana L. King. I am good to go. I'm good. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. But we are live, man. I just realized I didn't change clothes. I'm upset right now. We are live in studio as always, man. It's Missional Monday again, broadcasting from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. Don't forget to share, the birthplace of gospel music, man. I'm excited to be here one more time. We got a great topic today. Four barriers we create. That's right. Four barriers we create that keep people from Jesus. Four barriers that we create that keep people from Jesus. That's our topic of conversation for today. I hope y'all are excited, man, because you know what? There's always something that's keeping people from Jesus. And a lot of times we don't even realize that it's something that we are doing ourselves. So that's our topic for today. But look, let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375. That's the call-in number, 323-870-4375 is your call-in number. One more time for the Holy Ghost, 323-870-4375 is your call-in number. If you do decide to call and you want to be a part of the show, all you got to do is push 1. That'll get you to my producer. I got the best producer in the land on the other side of the glass, the one, the only, LaTanya Melton, handling the business on that side. Also got J-Mail in the house as well, but he kind of chilling right now. But anyway, we are in here, man, and we are good to go. But push 1, that'll get you to them. They're going to check, make sure you save, got some semblance of the Holy Ghost before they put you on the line with me. But then we will go ahead, man, and have a good time in the Lord with you today, huh? So look, let's keep it moving. If you want to email the show, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. That's how you can email the show. One more time, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's 2 T's, 1 L, 1 LO Radio is where you can tweet the show. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. You can definitely do that. If there are comments, let me know, because I think I don't see them. I see my picture, but no comment. Okay, good. Thank you. But you can do that as well on the gram at TTLO Radio. And don't forget, on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio, facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. And then the live stream is up and running. We are getting that out, sharing that for everybody. The live stream is up and running. facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. You should be able to find this broadcast not only on the TTLO Radio page, on my elder, on my Dana King public profile page. Yeah, I think that's it. Cause don't do it on Ebenezer. I mean, you can, but if you want to, if you did already, it's fine. It's all good. Hey, wonderful. Bless the Lord. Amen. So look, I'm excited, man. I'm just, again, excited to be here, one more time in the presence of the Lord anytime we get to do this show. Don't forget, we are an iHeartRadio partner, so you can also find this podcast or this live broadcast on the iHeartRadio app. All you have to do is download the iHeartMedia Group app. Do a simple search for the TTLO Media Group. Not only will you find the Taking Limits Off radio show, you'll also find Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas every Tuesday right here on the TTLO radio show. And then on Thursdays, you'll find Grindology. That's right, Grindology with Lissette Herndon every Thursday. Real man, look at, she handles all the branding, marketing needs for your small business. If you're an entrepreneur, big business, startup, whatever it is you've got going on, she can help you navigate the business world. Man, so don't forget as well, Spotify, iTunes, Blogger, Stitcher, any of those places where you can download a podcast, you can find us there. So look, man, I'm again, as I said before, I'm excited to be here again this Monday. We took saw you guys on Friday, had a great show on Friday, as always. It's always a great show when we conversing and we having good conversations, as they say. So it's always a good time in the Lord when we're able to do that. Do me a favor, when you come on to Facebook, go ahead and hit that share button. For those of you who are on Facebook right now watching or listening, hit that share button and let me know where you're from. Give me see some hearts, some likes, say something to me, speak to me, let me know you're in the room. We're trying a new system, so I'm trying to see if I can see any comments. So you'll let me know if any comments pop up, and then I'll be able to see if they pop up over here. I got the box to see them. I can't type in, but I got the box to at least see them. So, but we're looking forward to any and all participants, man, for today's broadcast. It is going to be awesome time. So much stuff has happened over the last couple of days, right? We had the late great John Lewis passed away, 80 years old, in Washington, D.C. He had been suffering from cancer for a while, but he passed away over the weekend as a great giant, man. He's a giant in the political world. He was a giant in the for civil rights. He passed away the other day, man, and we want to definitely keep him lifted up in prayer. He is one of the originals, man. He marched, for those of you who don't know, he marched alongside Martin Luther King. Back in the 60s, fighting for our civil rights. He was, if you ever saw him up close or any close pictures of him, he had bruises and still had old wounds on his head from where he was injured on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, where he was marching for voters' rights and everything else. And then he also put a bill that's been sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk for 270 some odd days now. That's been waiting for a signature for voters' rights to extend, because technically we were not allowed to vote. So they had to pass put an amendment in or something for us to vote. And that is about to expire. And he has a one that was been sitting there, and it's literally been sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk for 270 some odd days. So that in itself is a disgrace. But John Lewis, man, a absolutely powerful leader in civil rights and in the political world. So he will definitely be missed. So many other people, man. Look, I'm always torn, and we had this conversation earlier, Latanya and I, about the violence thing in Chicago. And I'm always torn about whether or not to talk about it. But I said I was going to, only because it is necessary. Okay. Thank you so much. We got commercials. Okay. anyway, the violence in this city, man, is crazy. We had 63 shot, 12 fatally. Earlier it was 11, but I guess some one of the other ones that were shot, if they succumbed to their wounds, then they would be counted in that number as well. So 63 shot and 12 fatally in violence across our city the other day, man. And I've asked you all your thoughts on this And feel free to drop your comments on the drop your comments or call in 323-870-4375. Feel free to do that. If you want to call in and have a conversation with me about it or what you think can be done differently. I noticed something today, though. So I was watching the the news this morning, and I watched the the press conference of the Chicago superintendent, the police superintendent. I was watching the press conference, and on the press conference, they showed a video from last week's Columbus where they were going to try to tear down the statue and the police attack statue. So, you know, I'm sorry, they tried to attack the statue. The police were protecting the statue. So, as you know, the big brouhaha came because one of the young ladies who had been marching for nonviolence was apparently hit by police officers, and she was injured. I think her teeth were knocked out. Her name is Grace. Her teeth were knocked out. She was injured pretty bad. But today we got to see video from the other side. And what's interesting is you have this another sect of people who are marching along with the peaceful protesters. Now, we don't know if they're working succinctly or if they are just showing up and taking over the protest. But these people show up and they are marching along. They got umbrellas covering themselves up. And then people are then changing clothes. So they're dressed in normal clothing at the beginning of the process, at the beginning of the protest. And then when they get where they need to get to, where they get where they want, then they hide behind the umbrellas and they change clothes. They showed on camera these people changing from their whatever they had. If they had on white shorts and a white shirt, they literally are pulling out black khakis or black jogging pants and black sweatshirts so that they can't be seen. And then they're putting hoods and hoodies on their heads. And then they're going out and they literally were attacking. They were throwing frozen water bottles at the police. They were throwing lit fireworks at the police. They were using a PVC pipe, which is a plastic pipe. They were using PVC pipe for the banner. But according to police reports, not only were they using it, they had sharpened the ends of the PVC pipe so they could then jab and stab at police officers through the crowd. Right? This is the stupidity of what's going on right now. I am a fan of protesting. I believe that protests should happen. I believe that protests do have their place. I believe that they have their place, but I also recognize that there are a group of people who want to keep the fight going, and they want to keep the division going. So they show up with the intent to get enough people mad at both sides so that we're constantly warring with the wrong people. Let's have a real conversation. We should not be warring with the police department. Now, we got issues with the police department. Absolutely. There are real issues that we have with some of the Chicago Police Department. But we should not be having an all-out brouhaha with the Chicago Police Department. Work on those areas that they know they need to be worked on. But these same people who are out there, where is your march when there's 63 people killed? Because none of these 63, we don't know who did it, but none of these 63 were killed by police. Maybe if there's 63 people shot by police over the weekend, then maybe there'll be a different type of march. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just thinking this is insane. Two young boys shot among three shot in Auburn Gresham. That was yesterday. Earlier, a man was killed in Little Village on the southwest side. About 20 minutes before that, a man was killed and a woman was injured in the Loop. There were vehicles. A 35-year-old man, Gregory Crawford of Maywood, was shot in the neck and taken to Northwestern Memorial Hospital, where he died. On Saturday morning, a man was shot to death in Humboldt Park on the west side. About 3 hours early, another man was killed in Little Village. A 36-year-old woman was shot in the leg. A 32-year-old man was shot in the right arm. Let's see. A 23-year-old man was hit in the arm and taken to University of Chicago Medical Center in fair condition, according to police. Let's see. Oh, here we go. The weekend's first shooting wounded three people, including a 14-year-old boy a few hours earlier in the same block. The trio was on the sidewalk on the 8200 block of South Drexel when a vehicle drove up and someone inside opened fire. The teen was struck in the face and taken to coma. A 21-year-old man was struck in the arm, and a woman, 27, was shot in the butt. Here's another one. In the afternoon, two boys were shot during a dice game in Lawndale. The teens, 14 and 17, were playing dice at about 3:35 on the sidewalk on the 1500 block of South Sawyer Avenue when someone in a vehicle pulled up and opened fire. 17-year-old was shot in the groin, and the 14-year-old was struck in the butt. Another teenage boy was shot Saturday at a gas station on Belmont and Central on the northwest side. A 17-year-old was pumping gas at a gas station on 5500 West Diversity. Someone fired shots from a black SUV. The boy was shot in the back and taken to Community Medical Center. Now he's at stroger. And about an hour and a half before that, another 14-year-old was wounded in Albany Park on the northwest side. The news is just getting great, isn't it? On Friday night, another teen was shot in Inglewood on the south side. 17-year-old was standing on the south side, 6900 block of South Lafayette. And then three more people were wounded in a single shooting about 10 minutes earlier in Roseland on the south side. It's a comment. Oh, yeah, I don't see. Yeah, I can't see the comments. I just find it absolutely. I find it amazing that this is the news. Right now, I'm sure other cities are having the thing. Yeah, what is the it's behind you, it's right in front of you. Yep. What does the comment say, since I can't see them?
Alicia says they may have not been shot by the police, but it doesn't mean we killed them either.
True.
I believe there's a group taking advantage of the protesters and the killings in Chicago, especially since they can't find them.
Absolutely. And I agree, Felicia. I have never thought, and I take offense when people say that these 63 shootings were black on black crime, because we don't know that. We don't know that. The 60 from the previous week, we don't know that they're black on black crime. Where's the evidence of that? Where's the evidence that any of this was black on black crime until people get arrested? Where's the evidence? And then this morning, the superintendent said this. A couple of the people that were arrested at the protest around the Columbus statue were not even from Chicago. People are being paid, and what's happening is this. And I don't. Let me say this. I'm going to assume this, but this is my hypothesis. What I believe is these outside groups got money. These outside groups are saying, "Hey, we want to come and march and support you, and we're willing to put our money down to help buy your banners, your signs, and this, that, and the third if we can march with you." Because if you watch the video of the police, if you watch that video closely, you can see the people who are at the protest watching these other people throwing bottles and looking like, what are y'all doing? And unfortunately, everybody gets caught up. So, yeah, Felicia, I'm in complete agreement with you. There is no way that this is. I don't believe that it's all black on black crime. 63 people shot weren't shot by 63 other black people. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. And I would be, especially when the police say no, and we have no suspects in custody. We see a black SUV, a white SUV, this truck, that truck pulled off. Nobody knows anything. Nobody saw anything. So you're right. It could be anybody from anywhere in any car pulling up, shooting a bunch of black folks they see and driving off. And truth be told, all 63 people that were shot over the weekend weren't black either. Let's just tell the truth. All 63 people that were black, these little village shootings, they weren't black. So we need to be more cognizant of what we allow people to talk to say about our people, because you're right. There's a very good all 63 of those people, you're right, they weren't shot by the police, but that doesn't mean they were shot by us either. So I am, I'm with you on that one. I'm with you on that one. All right, y'all. Y'all's president, y'all know him. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, him. He did an interview on Fox News. Yeah, he did an interview on Fox News the other day. And in that interview, he decided that he was going to he was talking about how the public school system is teaching our country to hate America, teaching the children to hate America. And he made the comment, and I have to let me get the Trump Fox News comments, because this was hilarious, and it just goes to show. I'm not telling people how they should vote, right? I'm not trying to tell people how they should vote at all. Vote for who you think has your best interest at heart, right? But here is the line that I'm looking for, because he was talking about Christopher Columbus and the statues. Let me see if I can find this real quick. He was talking about Christopher Columbus and the statues. And he literally said these words. He said, the school system is teaching our children how to hate America. That's what he said. It's teaching our children how to hate America. They're raising our children to hate America. That's what he said. That's what he said. And in that process, I said, okay, let's see what he said. Oh, here's the line. He said, when we were in school, we were taught that in 1492, Christopher Columbus discovered America. And what was wrong with that? That's y'all's president. We were taught that in 1492. I'm sorry. Didn't some factual information come out? Was it almost 20 years ago? Maybe 25 years ago, when the world found out, when they started teaching the truth about Christopher Columbus. Didn't some facts come out that Columbus didn't actually discover America? Wasn't there some truth finally told there? And he literally said that. And then he said, now they want to switch to 1619 or something. And I love the interviewer on Fox News. Chris Wallace would not let him get away with making up stuff. And it got to the point where Trump was telling people offside, bring me the charts. And then even after he saw the charts, he still wouldn't admit he was wrong. He still wouldn't admit he was wrong. Unbelievable. Keep your comments coming. We'll definitely read them if they're comments. But I was like, wow, this is absolutely it's crazy that this man literally believes in the crap that comes out of his mouth. And then, so you know, he said he took this test, this cognitive exam that he claims he aced, meaning he got everything right. And so the reporter goes, well, it's not the hardest test in the world. And he said, one of the questions was at the end, is this an elephant or an alligator? So I'm sorry. It's sad, man. It's sad. I just think it's absolutely crazy. It blows my mind. It boggles my mind on the things that this man says and he continues to say. And the people who follow him, they don't even make an attempt to correct. And will curse you out for correcting. And will curse you out for correcting. I mean, it's just I just find it absolutely it's asinine, really. It really is. It's absolutely asinine for the stuff that this man said. Okay, I finally did pull up the I finally was able to pull up the actual. Oh, good, they got the actual transcript online where you can find what this dude had to say. I just find it absolutely amazing. It's just, yeah, here it is. He says, I look at school. Let me read it verbatim. He says, I watch, I read, I look at the stuff. Now they want to change. 1492, Columbus discovered America. You know, we grew up. You grew up. We all did. That's what we learned. Now they want to make it the 1619 Project. Where did that come from? What does it represent? I don't even know. Wallace said, it's slavery. Trump, that's what they're saying. But they don't even know. They just want to make a change. Cancel culture. I hate the term, actually, but I use it. He says, But are the people teaching the children to hate school, to hate America? He says, are they teaching the people to hate America? And he says, oh, I think so. Look at the professors. Look at what's going on in the colleges. If a conservative goes on a college, and look, we have many of them. Excuse me. I think the best of my knowledge, we're sitting at the White House and the Oval Office right behind me. We have many of them. Who's them? Trump says. The liberal radical left, and I'm not talking all, I think liberal, he says. I could tell you, like a lot of liberal people, I like a lot of liberal governors and senators, but, Chris, we have a radical left destructive ideology, blah, 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 blah. But this dude is just, I mean, it's ridiculous, man. It's sad, but it is ridiculous. But again, this is y'all's, This y'all's president. Again, look, if you want to call into the show, 323-870-4375 is your call-in number. 323-870-4375 is your call-in number. Okay. What you got?
Felicia says, I listened to an interview from his niece that sold all those books. She ain't wrapped too tight either. I can't listen to COV-45. COV?
COV-45?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anymore.
Oh, okay. I know. I do understand. I do understand, Felicia. It's sad. Yeah, I read some of the excerpts from the book that she's selling millions of books about how Trump has always been strange. He's always been not. He's always been worried about what other people thought. He's always been stuck on stupid or whatever you want to call it. He's always been win at all costs, no matter who you step on, no matter how many people you cheat, no matter how many people you cheat out of jobs and money, out of y'all know Trump University, Trump Airlines, Trump Casino, all these different places, Trump Steaks, you know, all these different things and all stuff that these companies that just folded, all these land deals that he had where he walked away from or he swindled people out of their initial investment money. But this is the president of the United States, and he's supposed to be a good business guy. With how many bankruptcies? Something around seven. So, but that's the absolute craziness of this thing. Man, it's only 7:28. Jesus Christ. Okay. I feel like I've been talking for a long time. So anyway, that's pretty much the gist of that. This is what we're going to do, y'all. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into a little bit more conversation. I'm just going to play some music. So, but we will do this. We're going to do that. And then we're going to come right back. Yeah. Where is my, oh, there it is right there. All right, y'all. Be right back. Two T's, one L, one O, TTLO. Come on, Asia, sing something.
Here are some lessons you have to learn. There's a time and season for everything, and I know the long wait can feel unreal. Wondering when you're gonna get what you think you deserve. If you think that's how it works, my friend, it don't. There are many things you have to learn to do before God can release what he has for you. While you're waiting on your blessings, work on yourself. Here are some things that you gotta learn. You gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not You gotta change what's in your heart. Know who you can handle. Please understand, God knows what you want, and He also knows what's in your heart. If He give it to you now, you may crash and burn. You gotta learn how to wait till it's your turn. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other stuff will be added in time. I'm only sharing with you what I know, because these are the lessons I have to learn. You gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. You gotta learn to watch your phone. You need to learn to watch your mind. You gotta change what's in your heart. Oh, you can handle me. While you're waiting, doubt will come. Just remember where your help comes from. Cause faith without words is dead. You need to go to church so you can be saved. See, trials come to make you strong, but these are the lessons that will help you grow. I'm trying to share with you what I know.
Hang on,
you gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. You gotta learn to watch your tone. You gotta learn to watch your mouth. You gotta change what's in your heart.
Mic check. We back. We are back. So, man, look, we've been having a good conversation, man. It's Missional Monday. We just going to get it in and get out, man. So there's this great great lesson here. Four barriers we can create that keep people from Jesus. That's going to be our topic of conversation coming up real soon. Look, I know there are – I did want to talk about this one thing, Felicia, because you did mention something about the COVID. I do want to talk about this one piece. So you do know that the city is about to roll back starting this Friday. They're about to roll back the good old some of the leniency. I just thought about Bernie Mac. I've been too lenient. but they're about to reimpose the COVID-19 deal. Let me not get no background. Yeah, cool. They're about to reimpose the COVID-19 rules for some of these bars that don't serve food, So let me get you this information in case you didn't know. It says, because there's been an uptick in Chicago coronavirus cases, Mayor Lori Lightfoot and Chicago public health officials have announced that they will reimpose the COVID-19 restrictions on bars, restaurants, gyms, and other businesses as a precautionary, due to a recent increase in COVID restrictions will go into effect at 12:01 on Friday, July 24th, to give businesses time to comply. The restrictions include bars, taverns, breweries, and other places that serve alcohol to be consumed on site will no longer be able to serve customers indoors. Establishments that do not serve food can serve customers outdoors. Restaurants that serve alcohol can continue to operate. The maximum party size at tables for restaurants and bars has been lowered to 6 people. Yeah, you know what? People have been rolling deep. Like, going back, you know, it's like, I guess they figure 15 of us can go to the restaurant and they can put all our tables together. That's an issue. That is still an issue. It says there's a maximum of 10 people allowed at an indoor fitness class. Wow. 10 people at a fitness class that normally had like 45, 50 people in there? Wow. Personal services that require face masks to be removed, such as shaves or facials, will not be allowed. You shared something on the screen? If you did, it ain't came up yet. So you can't go, so if you go to the barbershop, you can't get no shave? Is that? Because she's saying you can't get a facial. at the spa no more. Anything that involves you taking your face mask off. Now, this is where I'm a little confused. I can take my face mask off in the restaurant to eat, but I can't take my face mask off in the barbershop to get a shave. I'm trying to understand the No. She's saying that you can't anything that involves you taking your mask off. So facials and shaves. I'm kind of at a loss, but it says personal services, which would be barber, residential property managers are being asked to limit guest entry to 5 per unit to avoid indoor gatherings and parties. Residential property managers. Residential property managers are being asked to limit guest entry to 5 people to avoid indoor gatherings and parties. So I guess if you so if you own a property manager and like say you live on the premises and you got some tenants and they decide, you know, and you can, you know, wow, 5 people. It says, I'm not surprised the mayor did this, says Sam Sanchez, the owner of Old Crow Smokehouse, who also serves as the vice chair of the Illinois Restaurant Association. I'm glad she didn't go back to phase 3 because Old Crow serves food. They can also keep the bar open. But Kay's Dugout in Bowmanville, a decades-old neighborhood fixture, is one of the 100 city bars that doesn't serve food and will be forced to close their indoor space on Friday. So bars that don't serve food have to close unless they can serve outside. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. Well, I mean, you know what? Chicago is not like other places. I mean, we've been doing pretty good, but you know, they're out there doing the most right now, and it needs to slow down. I saw this comment the other day. I think it was last week, and the comment said, "If we had just did an initial lockdown period, meaning lock it all down for let everybody get what they need from the stores and lock it all down for like 2 weeks or a month. Meaning, unless you're an essential worker, you ain't got to go nowhere. Meaning, and the stores. I mean, like, I guess the question is, people going to say, well, what about the grocery stores? Are the grocery stores, you know, because you can't get food. You really can't. Some people ain't got enough room to store up food for 30 days, 30 days worth of food in the first place. But if we had just locked it all down, just lock it all down and let's just bite the bullet. I would rather lock it all down now and bite the bullet and get it over with and make a real and bend the curb, as they keep saying. I would rather lock it all down now, bend the curb, and then go forward. You had a comment? Oh, okay. So yeah, I would rather do that than to see something else, right? I would rather do that than to be stuck permanently or to constantly have these restrictions. If they say we're gonna lock it down for the rest of July, then lock it down for the rest of July, and then give us, you know, or whatever. Because it's sad that this is where we are right now, and we're having to go backwards. But what was that? Georgia went back to what? Didn't Georgia go back to phase 3? They went back to 1. She went all the way back to 1. So the city, Atlanta. Sorry, Atlanta went back to phase 1. Yeah. Yeah, because we saw them folks in Atlanta. They was chilling. It was like when they got open in Atlanta, it was like Freaknik all over again. Y'all know nothing about the Freaknik. But anyway, I'm just saying it's sad that this is where we are. But I appreciate what our mayor is doing. I want her to stay the course, man, so we can get out from underneath this thing. Because the longer we stay in, if we lock it down, we can go back out and we can continue to fight and continue to move and continue to go forward. So that's my thought. That's my hope on this. All right. So we got this. We got this good article. What'd she say?
So Felicia says, so when will we be able to go everywhere with no mask after the vaccine? Not sure I want to take that.
Yeah. So Felicia, I was in a meeting on Saturday. And then there was a conference call that I got to listen into with pastors. And then the school had a conference call on Friday. There is no end in sight. There is no end in sight. We still don't have a real plan for schools. There's a hybrid framework right now that still appears unrealistic. I can tell you right now, my classroom from last year would hold 24 kids, right? 24 kids. That's four kids to a set of tables. That classroom now, if we went by the new CDC guidelines with the 6 feet of spacing in between, now they want all people in the classrooms facing forward, so there's no more facing students, facing each other. Everybody is facing forward. The teacher is in the front of the classroom. And even here's the weird part. I didn't even think about this, and I don't know if this question came up or not. The teachers have to maintain the 6 feet of space too. So if I'm trying to teach you, or if you say, can you help me with this? You 6 feet from me now. I can't see nothing. Can you help me work this problem out?
Far behind charter schools and public schools are, if everything was done with an iPad, with mirroring and everything else like that,
yeah,
or sharing the screen,
yeah,
we wouldn't. It's possible.
You're going to have to.
But we've always been so far behind the curve.
Well, we got enough Chromebooks now. Well, we had. But we don't know what we got now, what the account going to look like. But we could literally do. I mean, it's going to be one of those things where you're in the classroom, but you're teaching via Google Classroom, even though you're in the classroom. So you can walk them through the problem. So you can say, okay. And it's almost like you would literally turn on Zoom in the classroom. And have the kids share their screen. Share your screen with me. Yeah, unless there's another option. Like, share your screen with me. Share your screen I got a question. Okay, good. Tanya, share your screen to the projector. Boom, there you go. That's what it's going to have to be. We can't stand over kids. And, you know, and I know for science, I was talking to Mr. Oliver. His whole class is going to have to be different. You know, we were hands-on last year building things and doing all that stuff is done. So it's like everything is going to be changed. I don't know if she's on because I can't see the young lady, Lisa Tracy, who designs online learning classes. I'm curious, like for science and experiments, what would they be doing in situations like that? What do you do in a science class? Even social studies. Social studies is a lot of group work. In some classes, so it's a lot of you get teams of people to do research on sometimes historical figures or whatever. Now it's like you can't even work. You can't work in close quarter teams. So it's like, all right, let's you know, are we going to be, are people in classrooms going to be in logged into one Google Classroom has a chat feature too. Has a not the Hangouts, but they have a video chat feature too, and I know we don't use it, but I know CPS does, because most of their meetings were conducted over the summer when school was out. Most of their meetings were conducted through Google Meet. Thank you, Google Meets. So that's what CPS uses. I'm wondering If that's, man, it's that's a bit much. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you all real quick. All right, four barriers. We good? We ready? Four barriers we create that keep people from Jesus. Four barriers that we create that keep people from Jesus. That's our topic of conversation for today. This article was just written a couple days ago. It says this. It says, according to scripture, the work of Jesus is complete. Because of his life, death, burial, and resurrection, the good work of securing us as his beloved, forgiven, delighted in daughters and sons is finished just as he said. His sinless life, the writer says, secured for us a new and irrevocable status, holy and blameless in God's sight. His sacrificial and saving death fulfilled the requirement of God's justice towards our sins. His death-defying resurrection has secured our future and the sure promise that we will experience the same. He goes on to say, we are summoned by scripture to make much of Jesus for these and much more than a billion other reasons. It is stunning that Jesus makes much of us too. The writer says that Jesus lived this life. Jesus lived the life we should have lived, and he died the death that we should have died. Because of this, we are free. What a wonderful and humbling reality. God does not treat us as our sins deserve, because Jesus was already treated as our sins deserve in his life, death, and burial. And because of his resurrection, which followed, there is also much work that Jesus intends to get done through us. Dr. Luke, the evangelist, writes in Acts 1, chapter 1, he says in the first book, the Gospel of Luke, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Began to do and teach? How could there be more of Jesus to do than what has already been done? That's where we as Christ ambassadors come into the picture. That's what we should be. Christ ambassadors. According to scripture, we are now his chosen ones, sent into the world on his behalf, filled with his spirit to represent him in the places we live, work, and play. Can we talk about the word ambassadors? Normally you hear the term ambassadors in politics. Like every country, the United States sends ambassadors to these other countries, and they sit up in the embassy. That's where the ambassadors live. The ambassadors either live in the embassy, or they live in the embassy or around the embassy, and that's where they stay. And those embassies are considered United States soil. Even though they're on foreign soil, the minute you cross the gate, you're considered to be in America. So I'll give you an example. If let's say, Tanya, let's say you were pregnant and you were in Mogadishu. And in Mogadishu, we have an embassy, and you give birth in Mogadishu. And now if you give birth outside of the embassy, your child would not be American. If you gave birth inside the embassy or on embassy grounds, your child would be considered being born in America. Ambassadors go to these places. They are appointed to represent the country from which they come from. So they go there with the intention on making sure that their country is represented, and that they are and looking out for the best interest of their country in that particular country. Just like in America, we have embassies. There's a Russian embassy here. There's an African embassy here. There's a German embassy here. There's a Mexican embassy here. All of these embassies are in our country. In Chicago, we have the same embassies. Those places are considered to be, once you cross that threshold, you're considered to be on Mexican soil, German soil, Russian soil. It does not matter. And diplomats have what we call diplomatic immunity. Why am I giving y'all a civics lesson? Let me help you. Ambassadors. When we are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ, huh? We should be representing him. When we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ, we should be representing him. What we do, what we say, all that we do and all that we say should represent him. So when we talk to people, when we have conversations with people, when we go out to meet people, Why are we showing anything other than what Christ would show? So I'm like, I'm curious. But when you're going to be an ambassador for Christ, you want to make sure you're representing all of the best of your country. Well, if you're an ambassador for Christ, well, ain't nothing bad about Jesus. So you should be representing all of the goodness of Jesus. Every time you step out, every time you move about, every time you do any of these things, you should be representing the best of Jesus. The writer goes on to say this. He says, indeed, the work of Jesus continues in world through Christians today. Our calling is to labor in every possible way to, Jalen, mirror his ministry and message in our own. We are to live as those who are full of grace and truth until our churches and ministries attract the types of people who were attracted to Jesus, and by unfortunate necessity, draw criticism from the types of people who criticized him. Gandhi saying this, he says, and Gandhi was a Hindu. He practiced Hinduism. Gandhi was Hindu, not Buddhist. Gandhi was a Hindu. Gandhi said these words. He says, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians, because your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Think about that for a moment. I want y'all to get this. Gandhi admired Jesus Christ, but found it difficult to reconcile how the Christians he encountered seemed to represent Jesus so poorly. Come on now. In his mind, this is what kept him from becoming a follower of Jesus. And again, it's the example you set. How can you say you want your children to be more responsible like you and they see you acting irresponsibly? How can you say you want people to behave a certain way and they see you misbehaving a certain way? So Gandhi was looking for Christians to show him what Christianity looked like, because we're supposed to mirror Christ. Actually, he said, greater works will you do. But Gandhi is saying, I read about your Jesus. I like what I read, but I just can't seem to find him in the people that's supposed to be Christ-like. I don't hear nobody. Huh? The writer goes on to say this, as Jesus's ambassadors, we need to listen very carefully to statements like this one. We must carefully and lovingly examine the common barriers that stand between the real Jesus and people's false impressions of him. Impressions which unfortunately have been projected to a watching world by sincere yet misguided Christians. So let's consider some of these things that keep people from Jesus, shall we? All right. Number one, the first thing that keeps people from Jesus, y'all ready for this, is the barrier of condemnation. The barrier of condemnation. The writer says this. The Christian writer, Philip Yancey, often asks people he meets what they think about Christians. And sadly, the answer he hears most often from people is that Christians are judgmental, intolerant, and holier than thou. He says, a Christian friend of mine invited a gay friend to dinner with him and his wife. Their guest soon realized from the Bible on the coffee table, as well as several books on their bookshelf, that they were Christians. He then said, come on now. He then said to my friend, you are a Christian and you actually like me? This kind of story causes my heart to sink. Does it yours? He says, are we serious about being Christ ambassadors in the world? Then we must humbly wrestle with love to reverse the idea that Christians who are against people who don't believe like we do. Let me say that again. We must humbly wrestle with and fight with love to reverse the idea that Christians are against people who don't believe like we do. This is why we get labeled as haters. I don't have to believe in what you believe in and have to be called a hater. I don't have to be considered somebody speaking hate speech because I don't believe in what you believe. He goes on to say this. He says, whether this impression is true or merely perceived, it is still our standing or still our starting point in the minds of many non-Christian people. If we are not guilty ourselves, then we are at least guilty by association with believers who have misrepresented the Bible or the biblical Jesus with harsh, abrasive, condemning, or withdrawn attitudes. Come on now, the barrier of condemnation. He says we must take personal responsibility as far as it depends on us to replace pictures of a false Jesus with pictures of a real Jesus. Come on now, the Jesus who came full of grace and truth and who even welcomed sinners and ate with them. Luke 15, 1 and 2. What you got, Tanya?
Kim Tony calls them church snipers.
Woo! Kim, I don't know if you was listening to the show. We did a show, Tanya, maybe four or five years ago, Church Bullies. Couple of articles on church bullies, because here is the deal. We know what the Bible teaches about homosexuality. We recognize that, but I ain't got to beat you up with it, because the same Bible that preaches against homosexuality also preaches against adultery. The same Bible that preaches against adultery also preaches against fornication. The same Bible that preaches against fornication also preaches against lying, stealing, cheating, and every other thing you could talk about. All of those things are in there. But we always seem to it's easy. I call it the low-hanging fruit Christians. Because, see, it's easy to grab the fruit that's already at the bottom of the vine. We don't want to do no work to go up here and address adultery running through the church. We don't want to do no work and address fornication running throughout the church. We don't want to do no work and address these other issues in the church, because it's easy to pick on the two dudes holding hands in the back, sitting on the last pew, or the dude who show up at the church wearing a dress, or the lady show up at the church dressed like a dude. It's easy to pick them out. Huh? I'm trying to help the people. I'm trying to help the people. But this is what it is. This is what it is. There's this barrier of condemnation. And I wish we would get that. I wish we would, because see, if we recognize what the Bible truly said, if we recognize what the Bible truly said about these things, maybe our attitudes would change a little bit. Huh? Maybe
our attitudes would change a little.
Why is that unplugged? Uh-oh. no, not that. One of the speaker things out of the box down there. I think it's for the subwoofer. But it's amazing to me how we sit here. But I love what Romans says. In Romans, I think it's chapter 8, that there is now, therefore, no condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So watch this. Even the homosexual, come on now, y'all stay with me. Even the homosexual, I'll say it again, even the adulterer, even the fornicator, even the liar, even the thief who has professed to be a Christian, there is no condemnation. That's what Paul said in Romans. Don't get mad at me. You don't like it? Holler at him. I just want y'all don't come to me. So this barrier of condemnation, it has come down. That's one of the four things that's keeping people from Jesus. Number two. We're moving good. Number two says, the barrier of separation. The barrier of separation. Separate. The Bible says this. I mean, not the Bible. The article says this. He says, the writer says, I believe that Christians who want to separate themselves and their children from secular people, secular things, and secular ideas make a big mistake. Christ ambassadors must resist this us against them mentality. Oh, this is good. This is good. He says, and often a fear-based mindset. We must do everything in our power to become friends with as many non-Christians as we can with no conditions attached. Uh-oh. This must be a central core value of our lives and our Christian community. This is good evangelism teaching right here. This is real good. This is real good on evangelistic teaching right here. He says, this must be a central core value of our lives and our Christian communities. Consider Jesus. It was only the religious proud who withdrew from Jesus, that criticized him, that took offense at him, and wished to rid the world of him. But what about the prostitutes? The prostitutes, I almost said it. You know what? I'm going to say it because that's what Dan did. The hoes love Jesus.
Huh? What happened? Somebody said something?
Huh? Look here. What? What's wrong? It says only the religious people withdrew from Jesus and criticized him and took offense at him and wished to rid the world of him. But what about the prostitutes, the crooks, the drunks, the gluttons, and the sinners? They all wanted to be near Jesus, and they wanted to hear what he had to say. Come on now, y'all stay with me. This is good. This is good teaching here. This is good teaching. And Jesus, watch this. He obliged them gladly, so much so that he became guilty by association and was accused of being a glutton and a drunk and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Come on.
Okay.
What you got?
Okay, so Kim Tony says she feels a shot right now. And then she says, stop forming cliques, deacons, and trustees.
Ah.
And then To God Be the Glory Pitt says, baby, you teaching some good knowledge. Teach. They're getting in. Come on, elder. this is To God Be the Glory. And Felicia says, the Bible says, be in the world, but not of the world. You have to be in it around people who are not like you or think like you.
You watch this. Who better to help you understand a drug addict than a former drug addict? Who better to help when alcoholics go to Alcoholics Anonymous or AA or whatever it is, rehab facilities? A lot of those people are recovering addicts. A lot of them are recovering addicts. Because why? Because they know what it's like to go down the path. Who better to teach you? Who better to help you come beyond that than the people who have been there? So if I've never been on drugs, but I want to help some people and not condemn them, then that means I need to go to where they are. That means I can't be afraid to go to the crack house. I can't be afraid to go to the corner where the guys are standing with their pants down around their butts. That means I can't be afraid. Watch this. I remember, y'all remember the show Preacher LA? I watched it because I thought it was funny. But you remember on Preacher LA when the first lady, I think her name was Chaney, when she took her people to the strip club? She went to evangelize in the strip club? Now, she went in the middle of the day. She didn't go at night when it was packed, but she went in the middle of the day, and she talked to some people, and that young lady brought some people to their church, and that young lady got saved that night. Now, I don't know if that was just for TV cameras or what, but you have to go to where they were. There's a reason Jesus ate with tax collectors, because he wanted people to know it ain't just going to be it, look, it ain't about your religiosity. Just made that up. I don't think that's a word. But it ain't about your religiosity. It ain't about your Christianism. See, I just made that up. Boom. It's never going to be about that. He wanted to meet people where they were. And watch this. Because if I meet you where you at. Uh-oh. See, if I don't help nobody, I'm going to help myself. If I meet you where you at, that lets you know if I can meet you where you at, that lets you know I'm not concerned about what you have or don't have. It lets you know that I'm concerned about you right now where you are. If I can meet you where you at, I'm not saying go home, do this and do that, and then come back. No, no. I'm saying I'm going to meet you where you are. And my job as a preacher of the gospel is to not only meet you where you are, but sit there with you. And tell you about this man called Jesus and hope that my message is convincing and convicting. Come on now. Convince and convict. So that when I get up and leave, You follow behind me as I follow him. Come on. That's what the message has to be. That's the message. That's the goal of this thing. It's not to condemn people. It's to teach them and to give them some goals to seek after. See, perfect folks ain't got goals. Perfect people ain't got no goals. Perfect people don't have any. Perfect people say, I have arrived. I'm Archbishop so-and-so. I'm the Episcopal whatever. I'm all that. I have my prayer cloth. I got my prayer shawl. I got my purple shirt, my red shirt, my blue shirt. I wonder what the orange shirt is. I got all my shirts. Is that orange shirt? You ain't never seen orange shirt? Look up orange clergy shirt. See if it got us representation. But whatever those things are, they mean nothing in the eyesight of Jesus. And that's the process we need to get through. Now watch this. I like what the writer says. He says, we know that these accusations of drunkenness and gluttony were false. Jesus was tempted in every way but without sin. But Jesus was unapologetically a friend to the least and the lost, to all who felt ostracized and belittled by the religious community of his day. Jesus was willing to offend strict religious people if that's what it took to convince broken sinners that he loved them and had hope for them. Woo! Are we willing to offend, oh God, huh? Are you willing to offend the most high religious folks? Are you willing to offend the high priest? Are you willing to go that next level? This is good, y'all. Today we're talking about four barriers we create that keep people from Jesus. That was number two. This is good. Number three says this. The writer says Jesus was considered repulsive by religious insiders and had a breath of fresh air to religious outsiders. He was considered repulsive because, see, they thought Jesus thought he was they didn't like the fact of what Jesus did. How are you looked upon by religious insiders? Are you looked upon like an insider too? Who said something about cliques? Was that Kim Tony? Are you a part of the clique or you on the outside looking in? Because I'm gonna tell you like this, I like being on the outside. I'm glad. I know Tanya said all the time, that's why I ain't got no friends. But I like being on the outside of the preacher cliques in Chicago. I have come to enjoy it. I have come to enjoy not being invited to all of the meetings. I don't need to be invited to all of the meetings. I got a few guys that I know that I trust, and that's it. I don't need to be at every table. Plus, I ain't going to eat from every table. But the third one says this. The barrier of smugness. The third one is the barrier of smugness. The writer says this. There is a price to pay if we get serious about cultivating lives, homes, and communities that are full of grace. The more we prioritize befriending the kinds of people that Jesus did, the more we will experience resistance and even rejection from the so-called faithful. They may even be our fellow church members. Yeah. The writer says, it's a simple fact. We're talking about the barrier of smugness. He says, it's a simple fact. When we do the kinds of things that Jesus did and love in the kinds of ways that Jesus did, some people will take offense at us. Here's the deal. Because let me say this. I know people said, Jesus hanging out with tax collectors. Jesus hanging out with homosexuals. Jesus hanging out with drug dealers. Jesus hanging out with whores and prostitutes and all this other kind of stuff. Jesus hanging out with pimps and all this other stuff. Right. Watch this. He went where they were to meet them where they were, but he did not participate in what they were doing. What are you saying? Saying Jesus can come and get you out the crack house and not smoke crack. Huh? Come on. Now, he might smell like it because he went in there. He may have showed up at the weed man house. But when he came out, he might even smell like weed. But he didn't participate in the wheat. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a shepherd, I've said this a million times on this show, ought to smell like his sheep. And wherever he got to go get his sheep from, he going to smell like his sheep. Oh, I'm preaching now. He going to smell like his sheep. So it's not, so what you have to trust that I ain't got to participate when I go. But I'm coming to get you wherever you are. Somewhere, watch, oh my God, I feel all right. But this is the thing. He will get you from wherever you are. Come on.
He says you're not doing something right if everybody likes you and agrees with you.
Ah, come on. Come on. That's it. You ain't trying to please everybody. Huh? I'll take it like this. There is a song. I was gonna say a poem, but there's a song. It's the all right now. I think it's either 137 or 138 number of the song. But it says, "If I make my bed in heaven, I'm with you, and if you make your bed in the depths of hell, I am there with you." Meaning, wherever you are, I'm coming to get you. I don't care what you smell like. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're doing at this very moment. I will be there with you. Come on, somebody. You can't be afraid to go to where the people are. He says, and they will convince themselves, watch this now, talking about smug people, they will convince themselves that they are rightly offended based on their love of God. But anytime someone is offended by kindness that resembles Jesus, our Lord says that this person is acting not out of love, but for God, not out of love for God, but possibly as a child of the devil. It is Satan, not God, who is the hater of kindness. It is Satan, not God, who is the accuser of the people whom Jesus loves. Consider Luke 7, where the woman was described as sinful and enters into the home of Simon the religious Pharisee. Come on now. In the name of love and in the spirit of radical grace, Jesus receives with delight her very unorthodox display of affection toward him. Jesus breaks with religious custom, allowing the ceremonially and morally unclean prostitute, to touch his feet. He breaks with social customs, also receiving her as his disciple, putting a woman on equal footing with men in this very paternalistic, misogynistic society where women were seen as second class. Can I make it plain? They had a problem because Jesus let a hoe massage his feet. I said it. Huh? What's wrong? That's in the book. She rubbed good oil on his feet. Now, we have a problem with that. Now, watch this. He didn't slip up $5 for a $5 holler. He didn't slide up $40, whatever that is. I still don't know what the $40 means. But he still didn't slide up $40. He allowed her to come in and minister to him, and then he accepted her as she was. Accepted, forgave, and then elevated. Y'all don't hear me. Come on now. This was considered scandalous. However, this is the way that Jesus breaks with moral customs to demonstrate to this woman how dear she was to him, even in her broken condition. Even in her broken condition, Jesus still blessed and received her. She let her hair down in public, come on now, which was considered scandalous in those days, and something that women could only do in the presence of an immediate family member. She also touches Jesus, watch this, with the tools of her prostitute's trade. He let her anoint him with the prostitute's perfume. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Kiss him with a prostitute's lips and wipe his feet with a prostitute's hair. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I could preach this thing. I'm trying to help somebody. You need to meet folks where they are. That's a sermon title right there. Meet me where I am. Somebody write that down and so I can have that somewhere. What time is this in the show? Whatever time it is, somebody gonna have to remind me when I said it, because I'll be done forgot. I don't even have a time on my screen. I don't have nothing over here. But meet me where I am. That's a sermon title. meet me where I am. Come on now. Ah, or watch this. He met me where I was. Oh, come on, somebody. That might be a T-shirt right there. Come on now. Come on now. I love this. The writer says, some will remember the rest of the story. Jesus was treated as scandalous by religious hosts. To these smug Pharisees showing positive attention to this woman, whom they judged as a sinner and not a child of God, as a thing, not a person, was proof of moral compromise. This story had serious ramifications for those who wish to represent Jesus well in a modern context. For if Jesus was a 21st century American, he would not associate godliness with a membership in a political party. He would not tell a sexually promiscuous woman that she was in sin without offering her a personal, no strings attached friendship. He would not talk about how smoking destroys God's temple while simultaneously devouring his third piece of fried chicken or fourth cookie or both at a church potluck. Uh-oh. Jesus would not condemn adultery as being any worse than studying the Bible for the wrong reasons. Oh, God. Smugness. Y'all, come on now. Help me. This is blessing my whole life right now. Smugness. This is deep. We got to get out of that. Sometimes we have to learn to get out of our own way. That'll bless somebody. Sometimes we got to learn to get out of our own way. Sometimes we got to recognize that our traditions, our dogmatic customs, our high and mighty, what we believe self-righteousness ain't right in God's eyes. That's not condoning the sin. It's loving the sinner. Uh-oh. Woo! Come on now. I can not condone the sin and love the sinner. Come on now. See, I can be open but not affirming. Uh-oh. Let me move on. I almost said something right there. I can be open to you coming, but I ain't got to affirm that mess. Huh? See? Uh-huh. Come on. All right. Last one. So we talked about these already, right? So the first one was the barrier of condemnation. That was the first one, right? The barrier of condemnation. Then the second one. Come on, computer. Then the second one. This is good. First one was the barrier of condemnation. The second one was the barrier of, where'd it go? Thank you. Of separation. The barrier of separation. The third one was the barrier of smugness. Now we get to the fourth and the last one. Y'all ready for this? The barrier of pride. That's the fourth one. The barrier of pride. The writer says this. Becoming a friend of sinners begins first with understanding that we are much more like the chief of sinners than we are like Jesus Christ. Our approach with all people, no matter who they are or what their history might be, must assume the posture of fellow beggars, humbly telling each other where to find bread. That's good. That's a quote from Stephen Brown. That's amazing. I love that. He says, if we really want people to be impacted by the gospel and to enjoy the riches of God's grace, they must first see us in the humility of those who have been and continue to be genuinely impacted by grace ourselves. Oh, my God. He says, our humility must be authentic. Uh-oh, and not just an act. It ain't about me. Huh? Let me read that part again. Our humility must be authentic and not just an act. It ain't about me. He says, if we never have been brought low by God, we will approach other people from a high horse. And that is never good from anybody. Y'all don't believe me. See Saul, now Paul. Huh? Come on now. This is good. We got any comments or we good so far? So the writer says this. He says, consider the Apostle Paul. I just said this. He was not above humbling himself in Romans 7. He gives us a window into his personal struggle with sin of coveting, a sin nobody would see unless he told them. and the way that the gospel gave him hope in the face of his covenant. In 1 Timothy, I love this, Paul identifies himself as the chief of all sinners. If we intend to reflect Jesus in our ministries and our message, we need to get over our love for reputation and image. As the late Jack Miller said, grace runs downhill. We can only be drenched by grace from the bottom of the hill. Oh, God. Oh, God. That's good. That's so good. Then he says, and yet how easy it can be to build our identities on how good we look. On being a model Christian that people are supposed to admire because of how put together we appear to be. But we must not do this. It's a trap and it will rob us of our gospel power and effectiveness. If people around us are going to be changed by the grace of Jesus, they must witness the gospel working effectively in our lives, healing us of our sins and deepest wounds and fears, changing us. Oh, that's good. That's good, y'all. This thing blessed me, and we on time. This thing blessed me. We got 9 minutes to spare. This thing blessed my whole spirit. This was good. I hope y'all got this. I'm hoping y'all got this. Okay, good. I just thought I would check that. I'm like, I was gonna be real mad. But it's something amazing when we think about these barriers that are put up in the church and we don't even recognize that we're holding some of them. That's it right there. Meet me where I am. No more barriers. That's a subtopic. Meet me where I am. No more barriers. As Jalen likes to make fun of me. If I had a topic for today. If I could give this sermon a title. From the bottom. Started from the bottom, now we're here. From the bottom. Meet me where I am. Subtopic. No more barriers. That's good. I could preach that. That'll work right there. But seriously, man, this is good. And these barriers are set up. And I like what the writer said, because even the writer wasn't condemning people. He was saying they were doing it in what they thought, and they thought they were doing the right thing, not knowing that they were keeping people away from Jesus. I'll give you another example. Blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was hollering for Jesus, and they told him, look, man, stop all that yelling and hollering. They put up a barrier. They put up a barrier for Bartimaeus. But one thing about Bartimaeus said, look, I don't care about you, deacon. Look, Jesus is here, and I'm going to call him master. But see, we like to put up barriers. We don't want nobody to get to nobody. And a lot of times, here's the deal. You can't be worried about somebody taking something from you. First of all, y'all do know God is big enough for everybody. Huh? Let me say that again. God is big enough for everybody. One more time for the Holy Ghost. He big enough for everybody. We got to get to a point where we stop hindering people from meeting Jesus. Woo, God. Where we stop hindering people from having an encounter with God because of what they look like. I can promise you this, if we all started to look like what we've been through, we would change our thought process. If you started to look like what you, oh my God, that just helped myself. If I started to look like what I'm going through, oh, glory to him. If you start looking like what you go, I bet you would change your perspective on how you talk to people. I bet you would change your approach on how you reach people. I bet you would change how you approach people if you started to look like what you were going through. I am so thankful on a daily basis that I don't look like what I'm going through. This is good. This is good. I'm grateful for this thing. This thing blessed me. I don't know about nobody else. I don't know about nobody else. If y'all putting hearts and thumbs up and any of that stuff, I can't see it, but God bless. Good to God be the glory. This thing is rich. I'm telling you right now, This thing is this thing is rich and full right now. And full right now. Rich and full. Huh? Rich and full. Oh, my God. My God. Look, before I get out of here, let me say happy 57th birthday to the pastor of this great church, Pastor Daryl N. Person. Happy 57th birthday. He probably going to be mad I told it, but I sure told it. Happy 57th birthday to Pastor Daryl N. Person, here, the pastor of the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church over here on the south side of Chicago. So we're going to pray that God has given you some of your desires and of your heart and fulfilled your needs as you need them. So God bless you, sir. And we're going to wish you many, 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 many more birthdays to come. But again, happy birthday to the pastor of this great church, Pastor Daryl N. Person. And then I know there were a bunch of other July birthdays, but that's the one that I know of off the top of my head right now. So, but it is. Oh, now how can I now I see comments? Yeah, 6 shares. I see all that now. Okay, so I got to keep it small on this screen. Okay, that'll work. All right. So anyway. good expensive oil. I know that's right. Come on. Okay. Anyway. It's nothing but a blessing, man. It's nothing but a blessing to be able to do this. I am grateful. And I thank y'all so much, man, for tuning in as always. Let's pray. Father God, we welcome you and we thank you, God, for allowing us again. I thank God for just you allowing us to be here again on this great platform. It's just amazing, God, that you continue to bless us, God, despite ourselves, that you're amazing, that you continue to bless what we do here, God, that you continue to bless our efforts, God, that you continue to continue to look after us and to keep us, God, and to even to continue to grow us. God, we're looking forward to even the greater blessings to come so that we can expand this ministry in your name only, God. That's why we do what we do. So, God, we just thank you for that on today. Now, as we get ready to leave this place, but never your presence, we ask for traveling mercy and grace. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Woo! My God, my God, my God. Look, y'all, it again was an awesome time. I am grateful for those of you who were able to watch and share and comment on this broadcast. You know, we do this because we want to take the message of Jesus Christ. We want to take it out differently, right? And I know it's never going to be a traditional radio show. We're going to do the things that reach the people where they are. And that's just that we want to meet you where you are. All right, y'all, I'm going to go. It's 8:30. See, this is the time we really supposed to leave. We only supposed to really be on like 90 minutes, and that extra 30 is gravy, right? Y'all, for those of you who don't know, we used to be able to go 2 hours, and then we could extend it to another 30, and then we could extend it another 30, but we got rid of all that. We need all that. So anyway, we're going to get ready to get out of here, man. Look, as I like to say, I ain't say it last week, but I'm going to say it today. As I like to say all the time, look, if you got to drive through this special, special, special city we call Chi-Town, do me a favor, my brothers and my sisters. Keep your head, what? On the swivel. Y'all stay blessed. 2 T's, 1 L. 1 L. Put your hands lifted up straight.